From the WGXE Newsroom, this is the WGXE News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Chris Bragg reports in the Times Union that several current and former members of Governor Andrew Cuomo's staff or people speaking on their behalf say helping on work on the governor's book was not voluntary. Previously, Cuomo's spokesperson said that the work by staff busy with the COVID-19 pandemic was legal, voluntary, and was not a misuse of taxpayer fund resources. One former staffer who spoke on the condition of not being identified said, and I quote, "It was not optional," end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, "It was considered a part of your job. Everyone knew that you did what was asked of you, and opting out was never really an option," end quote. Another anonymous source, who the Times Union says has direct knowledge of a more junior Cuomo staffer's work, called it, and I quote, "patently ridiculous," end quote, that the staffer had volunteered on the American Crisis book. And at least two junior Cuomo staffers who worked on the book got substantial overtime payments, according to records provided by the Empire Center for Public Policy and State Comptroller's Office. Cuomo's spokesperson Richard Azzopardi said, and I quote, "any state official that advised the governor on the book was voluntary, in compliance with state ethics laws and done on their personal time. Every effort was made to ensure that no state resources were used in connection with this project. To the extent an aide did something like printing out a document, it appears incidental," end quote. Bragg writes in the Times Union that, and I quote, "asked if there was documentation demonstrating that junior staffers were asked whether they wanted to opt out in volunteering on Cuomo's book, as a party did not provide any such records," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Natasha Vaughn is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Columbia County Sheriff's Office has been given the green light from the Board of Supervisors to begin using body cameras. The Sheriff's Office will be using the cameras beginning this week after the board approved a temporary policy to regulate them. At a special public safety meeting held April 6, an interim policy was adopted which allows the Sheriff's Office to use the cameras until a more permanent policy is created by an implementation committee. Gantt Supervisor Michael Benvenuto said, and I quote, "The sheriff's department has the cameras and the company Axon has done the downloads," end quote. He added, and I quote, "they instituted some training and they've run tests with the cameras," end quote. Benvenuto chairs the County Public Safety Committee. Columbia County Sheriff David Bartlett said the interim policy comes from the Department of Criminal Justice Services. The interim policy addresses when to activate a camera, storage and downloading procedures, measures to prevent data tampering, access to review footage, and equipment maintenance. Board of Supervisors Chairman Matt Murrell said he will appoint the implementation committee at the next board meeting. New Lebanon Supervisor Trista Holtling made a motion to require the committee and the sheriff's office to begin the process of creating a new policy within the next 60 days. The sheriff's office was authorized by the board in December to enter into a 5-year agreement with Axon Enterprises Incorporated at $100,000 per year for the purchase of the body cameras, related equipment, and storage. The cost includes 50 cameras, and you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. William J. Kimball is reporting for the Daily Freeman. The New York City Department of Environmental Protections had filed a formal objection with federal regulators to a plan to build an underground hydroelectric power station on land near the Ashakan Reservoir in Ulster County. The department oversees all of New York City's upstate reservoirs. The plan by Premium Energy Holding of Walnut, California has, and I quote, "several fatal flaws," end quote, the city department said in its April 8th filing with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. It also said premiums should not be granted eminent domain rights to the land near the Ashakan because it sits within New York State's Catskill Park. The land the premium wants to use near the reservoir is, and I quote, part of the Catskill Forest Preserve, for which sale, lease, and development are prohibited under the New York Constitution, end quote, according to the DEP's filing. Premium is looking to create a 2,800 megawatt power station 200 to 300 feet below ground on one of three sites, two near Route 2, near State Route 28, and one on the north side of the Ashikan's West Basin. The station would be about 500 feet long, 125 feet wide, and 150 feet high, and generate 800 watts of power. The DEP also objects to the plan for a new off-site reservoir to power the premium operation. The department argues the new body of water would siphon water from both the Ashikan Reservoir and Upper Esophis Creek, creating additional turbidity and making its levels subject to electricity demands. Kathy Nolan, Senior Research Director for the Environmental Advocacy Group Catskill Mountain Keeper, said Friday that she was encouraged by the city's filing. She said it should cause FERC to either reject the application or to send the applicant back to address in detail all the issues raised. And you can read the full story in the Daily Freeman. WRGB-TV is reporting longtime Albany broadcaster Ernie Tatrol has died at the age of 94. Tatrol was born in Waterville and grew up in Troy. He started his broadcasting career as a radio announcer at WTRY while in high school. After serving in the Naval Air Corps during World War II, he began his television career in 1951. Tatrol's first television show was called Hospitality House, followed by Home Fair, where he welcomed big-name guests like Jimmy Durante, Ginger Rogers, Groucho Marx, Debbie Reynolds, and Ronald Reagan. Tatrol moved into the newsroom in the 1970s. He covered everything from political conventions to battlefields. He retired in 1993 after 42 years at WRGB. In 2006, he was inducted into the inaugural class of the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame. And you can read the full story at CBS6Albany.com. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.